for I myself grow weary and grow ever in need of hearing God's word ministered to me as well. So I'm always grateful for the men that God brings here to do that very thing. So hopefully you'll be blessed as well. But Craig, if you want to come forward, thank you so much again. Craig is the men's minister down at Coral Ridge. He is a father. He is an author. He's a well-dressed man. He is all of those things. So thank you, Craig.
Thank you, Adam. Well, welcome, church. I know that I was doing okay when I'm here with the other Craig, and I'm also wearing the same shoes as Adam. I realized that. I'm wearing the same exact shoes as Adam. So when it comes to dueling Craigs, I think Craig has it over me. That's for certain. Because one of the things that's always a must when I preach at other churches is that I'm not leading worship. Some churches, the pastor leads worship. And what I tell them is there's someone that's going to be leading worship. That's a must that has to happen because I am so thankful that God is tone deaf. Because when I sing, it's a sweet aroma to his ears, but it's not to yours. So dueling Craig's, Craig won, that's for certain. But seriously though, I am so blessed to be able to be here. I love when I get the opportunity to preach at other churches, just to see, I mean, just the body of Christ all coming together, regardless of the church, regardless of where we are in our walk, it's all of us coming together, and that's why we're here. This morning, the message that God really put on my heart to preach this morning to you is one of encouragement. It's one that I pray that maybe you already know, but it's something that you need to hear again. It's something maybe sometimes we don't think about, but it's something that if we really do think about, that it's going to give us a lot of encouragement and a lot of excitement of what's going on right now in our life with Christ and how he's interacting with us. So the message this morning is, what is Jesus doing now in the heavens? As Adam mentioned to you, Pastor Adam mentioned to you, my name's Craig Starley. I'm a father of four. I was part of the Christian Water believing in the more children you have, the more blessed you'll be. So I have a 25, a 24, a 21, and a 19-year-old. But I'm still an active parent. That never ends, right? That always goes on. But also I'm a graduate of Knox Seminary, and so I do get the opportunity many times to preach at many churches. And so this morning, the question that we have is something that I want to ask you. What is it that sets us who believe in Christ apart from others? Now, there's a lot of things that come to mind, I'm sure. You know, one could be that we believe in Christ and Christ alone, that it's by works we've been saved, and there's no other belief that believes that. But the answer that I want to give us this morning is that for Christians, there's no retirement. There's no retirement. Think about it. I mean, the best way for me to explain it to you is I grew up in New York. My best friend was Jim Molinelli. Jim Molinelli was the Italian New Yorker, if there ever was an Italian New Yorker. And I spent time with him every day. And it came to the place where people actually thought that I was one of the Molinelli kids. You know, I talk like this, and I use my hands all the time, and, you know, we can go back to that New York like that. But one of the things that Jim talked to me about that I had an issue with is he was a police officer. Not that I had an issue with that. That was good. But he was a sergeant in five towns. And he was working every day. He was a newly married person. He had two children. And he was working every day, working overtime all the time. And I remember saying to him, Jim, I'm like, what are you doing? You're never home. You're never there to do anything with your kids, with your wife. And he's like, oh. He goes, listen, I got it all planned out. I'm going to work for 20 years. And after 20 years, I'm going to retire. And then whatever we want to do, we're going to be able to do. And I said, well, Jim, what about after the 20 years if your wife and your kids aren't there anymore? Because you were never there to be part of it in their life growing up. Every one of us, when we work, we have that goal in mind that we want to retire, right? We want to reach that big goal at the end of the rainbow. Maybe we want to take a vacation somewhere. We want to write a book. We want to just start doing your bucket list, right? You want to think about what it is that you want to do when you retire, before you die, or maybe you just want to chill. You want to, you know, like go to Jamaica and have a pina colada on the beach or something when you retire. But Moses, think about this. Moses wasn't used by God until he was in his later stage of his life. In his first 40 years, Moses was being trained to be the next Pharaoh. He was being raised up in the temple of Egypt to be the next Pharaoh. His second 40 years, he was trained in the desert to be a servant. But it wasn't until his last 40 years that the transformation took place, with all this training to be the deliverer of the Israelites and say to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." In his hundreds, no retirement was mentioned there. He was in his hundreds, and he just continued to be used by God. You see, churches, followers of Christ, we are on the job 24/7, 7 days a week. Now, you might want to take a temporary leave, and that's okay. There's times in our life as a Christian that we want to hang up our Jesus loves you hat, or we want to, you know, hang up the employee of the month, you know, for Christ shirt or something. And God will let you hang that up for as long as you want sometimes. But you think that you're not working for anyone. You think that you're retired and you're doing your own thing. But really, you're working for another boss. And you fool yourselves every morning when you get up thinking that you like your life. Now that you're not having to, you know, be that under the microscope Christian for God. But eventually, you hear that inward call from your boss, from the commander-in-chief. And then when you go back to work, church, you realize that it wasn't a job. It was a blessing. It's a calling. It's something that we get to do. We get to serve God. So as a Christian, there is no permanent retiring. Why? Because as long as you have breath, God can and will use you. Amen? Now, what about Jesus? What about Jesus? That's what we're going to talk about this morning. Hear with me as I go to God's word. We're going to go to two verses. In Ephesians 2:6, hear what the word of God says. It says here that, "And we by nature, children of wrath, even as the rest, but God being rich in his mercy, because of his great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, made us alive together with Christ, and he raised us up to be seated together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." And in John 14, it says this, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places." Some Bibles say mansions. We'll get to that shortly. "If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may also be." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, we just come to you this morning, and Father, I am so blessed to be here at Lake Osborne Church, to be in front of these brothers and sisters. But first, God, I pray that you remove the sinner in front of them, that you anoint my lips with your heated coals, that you allow your spirit to speak through me. Even though I may have a message written down on paper, you have a message on my heart. And I pray, Father, that my words are yours speaking to them. May there even be one person here this morning that this penetrates deep inside their heart and encourages them and helps them just grow even closer to you, Father. Then the purpose will be all done. God, we're here only for one reason. As we enter into the Holy of Holies, we do so with boldness because we are a child of yours. But we also do so, Father, with fear and reverence for who you are and who we're not. And it's only by the blood of the Lamb, it's only by Christ's sacrifice on the cross, do we have the ability to come to you and pray, Father, and lay our petitions down at your feet. So my prayer this morning, God, is that as people hear the words with their ears, may it penetrate deep inside their heart. May they be challenged, may they be excited, and may they leave here today knowing you that much more. So God, we just commit this time to you now. And we love you, Father, and we thank you so much for loving us first. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So what is Jesus doing now? While we all can rejoice over what Jesus has done for us, right? Allowed us who were all sinners to be seen as righteous before a holy God. Saved us from the wages of sin, death. Redeemed us from the penalty that sin and the bondage of sin that we were under has broken the chains and freed us from its power, reconciled us back into a loving relationship with God who loves us, while we could rejoice over what he will be doing for us in the future, ending all pain and all suffering as we behold his glory day and night. We often, church, miss out on what Jesus is doing for us now. Right now, this morning, we will discuss three things that Jesus is doing right now as we are sitting here at Lake Osborne Church. Right now, on behalf of all of you who call ourselves Christians, Scripture does not hide at all what he's doing. It is very, very clear. He's doing three things on our behalf. He is actively working on our behalf, and he's doing so in three ways. He is ruling with power. Jesus, our Lord, is ruling with power. He is interceding on our behalf, and he is preparing a place for us. So first, ruling with power. If you have your Bible, go with me to Hebrews 8, 1 through 2. In Hebrews 8, 1 through 2, hear the word of God. It says here, now this is the main point, Hebrews 8, 1 through 2. Yes, this is the main point of the things that we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Of the majesty in the heavens. The power that Jesus displayed here on earth, raising the dead, healing the many, casting demons out, and so much more, did not stop when he died and he ascended to be with the Father. Jesus right now is in the most prominent position of authority in the heavens and actively ministering and engaging for all creation. And he's doing that in two ways. First, he is ruling with power over his beloved, us. There is not a circumstance that you are dealing with here this morning that he does not have power over. Not a position of authority, ruling here on earth, making decisions that may not make sense sometimes, that he ultimately is not in full control over. Writer Abraham Kuyper said in his book, Sovereignty of God, that Jesus looks down from the heavens and he says on earth, there is not a place that is there that he does not say, mine. Right now, today, this very moment, there is not a problem that you have, a storm that you are dealing with. And even though those storms may sometimes feel like they're so high that you're going to drown, that the same God that says to those, that allows those storms in your life to happen, looks at those storms and says, be still, and they listen. Jesus right now is more powerful than problems that you have medically, problems that you have financially, problems that you have emotionally or relationally, anything that you are facing. Jesus is more powerful than any of those problems, church. And he's also ruling with power over others. In Revelation 1 through 2, it talks about the different churches. And it says that Jesus has the power over those churches. Now, some may not like what's going on in the churches today. The woke theology, the watered-down gospel message, right? The seeker-friendly churches. But it is Jesus, not the pastors, who are the head of that church. And not only in the church is he ruling with power, but in Ephesians 1:21, it says that Jesus is far above all rule and authority. Who are you going to vote for? We got to make sure that we vote for someone that has the same thoughts and the same what we want, right? What's going on in the other countries? What's going on in our world today? The horrible injustices that are going on to our children, the death of the unborn, the increase in the suicides. It may seem, church, like God has taken his hand off the wheel. It may seem, church, that just the enemy is having his way. But understand that nothing takes God by surprise. The Lord God reigns over this world now. His kingdom may not be of this world, but it certainly includes this world. And Jesus has authority over all on heaven and earth. Satan's authority and power is limited and subordinate to the authority that is vested in Christ. Christ, right now, is the king of this earth. His kingdom is invisible, and not everyone acknowledges it. People sometimes even give more allegiance to the prince of the power of this of the air than to the prince of peace. But Satan, his power is restricted, and it's temporal, and it's limited. What happened briefly is this: the power and authority that Satan had has been dealt a fatal blow when Genesis 3:15 took place, when the seed of the woman crushed the head of the serpent. By the incarnation, the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension, Jesus is now pacing back and forth. He is seated at the right hand, ruling every decision with power that the Father has given unto him. Now, we may not agree sometimes how things are going today in this world, but church, know that we could find rest and comfort that Jesus is ruling on your behalf and doing so with power, with power. Now, the second thing that he's doing is he's interceding on our behalf. In Hebrews 7:25, hear the word of God here. Therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, because he at all times lives to make intercession for them. He lives always to make intercession for them. Jesus is intimately involved in your relationship with God. He is our representative in heaven, and he intercedes on our behalf in two ways. First, he intercedes for those that are against you. When there is slander against you, when one bears false witness against you, there's people that have tarnished your name and have done wrongful actions towards you. Jesus is your defender. Just like in Exodus 17, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner, who does the fighting for us. Jesus is Jehovah Nissi. He does the fighting for us. Jesus is bringing all done against you to the Father, and he's asking God to act on your behalf. He is conferencing with God about you right now. So if you feel like the wrongs that have been done to you have gone unnoticed, maybe something was done to you in the past that you felt that God did not see, know, church, that Jesus is your intercessor, is going to the Father and working all that has happened to be done for you and that has been done for you so that it will be good for your benefit. Now, not only is he interceding on our behalf when those are against us, but he's also interceding on our behalf when you do something that is against yourself. Picture this. Picture that we're in heaven and there's a courtroom. And when you sin, when you have a thought that is not pleasing to God, when you act and do something that you know is against the word of God, your actions are brought before the throne of God from the accuser, Satan, the adversary. His job, as it talks about in 1 Peter 5:8, is to roam to and fro and see those that are children of God and what they're doing wrong. And like a little tattletale, and I'm sure that we've all had that growing up, he goes to the Father and says, look what your child is doing right now. And as the gavel of justice is just about to come down, Jesus, our intercessor, says to the Father, yes, when that word was said in anger, when that person viewed what he shouldn't have viewed on the porn site, when that lie was told that he shouldn't have said, it is covered by my blood that was shed at the cross of Calvary. And God says, not guilty, and though our sins be as red as scarlet, because Jesus intercedes for us in the heavens, It has been made as white as snow, Isaiah 1:18. The enemy is our great accuser, but Jesus, church, oh Jesus, is our great defender. Jesus, precious Jesus, will take your fears, your doubt, your strongholds, your continued transgressions before the Father. And rather than it being a place of judgment, we sense it as a place of grace. For Jesus is today, right now, interceding on your behalf. And the third thing that he is doing for us right now today is he is preparing a place for us. I know that we read it in the beginning, but let me read it again, because I really want you to hear. In John 14, 1 through 3, let not your heart be troubled, church. You believe in God. Believe also in his Son, Christ. For in my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it was not so, I would not have told you. I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus now, and as always has been, preparing a place for us. Before the foundations of the earth, we're in place, the ultimate DIY team, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, got together and has been measuring, has been building, has been decorating, has been setting up a place just specifically for you, for all of you who have placed your faith in Christ. Jesus is waiting eagerly for our arrival into glory. And right now, he is putting the finishing touches on your individual mansion. Now, that word mansion in the Greek means mone. And the word mone means places or abodes. So if you have been told, and if you have been hoping, or if you have heard that you're going to get a 10-room mansion with a jacuzzi and with waterfalls by the pool and all the fixings, let's just leave it at that we're all going to be fully satisfied in every way with all that we have, with all that we see, with all that we experience, and all that we live out in heaven, regardless of the size of your home. So, church, how does the fact that knowing that Jesus is preparing a place for you in heaven help you today? When the brokenness of this world, the God, why are you allowing this? Why did you let this happen to me? Come, Jesus, come, take me now. I want to be with you now. Times in life seem to overwhelm you. No, church, that this is just a pit stop. A holdover in the airport. And until we get to our final destination, which is in heaven. In John 17, 6, Jesus says, for those whom you gave out of the world. See, we are in the world, but we are in this world, but we are not called to be of this world. This is a temporary home for us. Jesus is preparing the home for us. I wanted to read to you this story of these missionaries. I know this church is very passionate about missionaries. It says, a missionary couple came home aboard a ship after many years of faithful service in Africa. It so happened that there was a very important diplomat also on that same ship who got special treatment and special attention. When the ship arrived, this couple stood back and they watched from a distance. As the band played and the people had gathered and there was great applause, and as the diplomat walked down the gangplank and whisked off in a lovely limousine to the sounds of music and applause. And this dear fellow put his arm around his wife and he walked off with her. And he got into the streets of New York and he said, honey, he said, it just doesn't seem right after all these years that we would not have this kind of treatment that they're having. And here this fellow gets this kind of special treatment. And his wife, because the wife is always the wiser and the smarter one, she puts her arms around her husband and said to him, but honey, we're not home. We're not home. allow the promise that which Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, overcome all your anxieties, all your fears, all your deepest pains, all your losses of your life, all the sorrows that you have, and may it stir up inside all of us the longing to be where he is now, preparing a place for us. Jesus, church, has done great things for us. Yes, he will be doing great things for us. But don't lose sight on what he is doing right now, this day for you. This work he is doing from the heavens, it will sustain you, protect you, and fill you with comfort and peace all our days until we are there with him as it always was to be. This church has reason to say, hallelujah, what a savior. Now, most of you here this morning or listening online can rejoice and be encouraged, for we know that Jesus, who is in the heavens, working on our behalf. But if there even be one person invited here this morning, or one person listening online, that does not know what it means to have the one who the world was created for be thought of as your advocate, please don't leave here today without speaking with me or one of the people in leadership to learn more about what it means to personally know of this one who is ruling in the heavens on your behalf. Let's pray. Oh God, when we think of your majesty, we look and we see the stars. We see the amount of sand on the beaches and know that's the amount of thoughts that you have for us. That you knew us before we were even knit in the womb, that you knew us. That while we were still sinners, you died for us. God, when we think of the awesomeness of who you are, and we can't wait to be with you, God, may we never miss what you're doing now on our behalf. God, you're not just waiting for judgment to see us. God, every day, every moment of our life, you are working on our behalf, and you're working for our good. And God, in those times that we may fall short of having sight like that, of seeing a God who is sovereign over all, and we cry out, God, where are you? May we be reminded that you are our advocate, that you are our protector, and that, God, you love us, and you want only what's best for us. So, God, until that time comes that we will be face to face with you and say, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, may we never, ever lose sight on the God who is active in our everyday life. And it's to you we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.